Man, we've got a lot to break down tonight. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. We'll be joined by the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, a little bit later on in the show, and you at 312-644-6767. Before we break down what happened Saturday night in Arizona and look ahead to Sunday's game in Tennessee, I want to play for you guys a little bit of what John Fox had to say earlier today when talking to the media specifically about the quarterback situation. Let's take a listen.
John, will Mitch play with the ones against the Titans?
Again, we haven't talked about that. Obviously, we're very, very early. We're not even in the preparation for the Titans yet. So we'll meet on that. We'll talk, and we'll keep you guys posted.
How about practice?
We don't practice till Wednesday, so yeah. We'll kind of figure out that tomorrow.
Is there a way to give Trubisky first-team reps without being in a front to Mike Glennon as the starter?
I think probably not. Like I said, we'll evaluate that and see where that goes.
You went back and watched Mitch's game the other night. What stood out to you?
We're talking about
Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah,
all right.
I did not.
Yeah. I think we might have it. No. Anyways, I thought, again, he showed good toughness. I think he took a couple shots. They did a couple things different that we hadn't seen as far as protection. But I thought he showed good accuracy. Probably maybe a couple decisions that I like he probably changed. But, I thought all in all he did well.
So the door is open. Tom, what do you make from what you hear from John Fox right there?
Well, it's just, coach speak, really. There is no decisions made exactly how many reps a player is going to be given next Sunday against Tennessee. I think they're fortunate that if they want to use this dress rehearsal type talk, that it is a Sunday game at noon and they can start their game planning on Wednesday. The thing that I'm most interested in seeing is when they do come out and strategize a game plan for the opponent on Sunday, I want to see how Glennon does as much as I want to see Trubisky play again, because I think that's going to tell the story. And, Mitchell Trubisky's going to get his reps, but I need to see how Glennon reacts to a game plan that's put together by Dow Loggins and Dave Ragone, the quarterback coach, and then how he uses it come Sunday in the game. So I still have as much interest in to see how Glennon performs as how Trubisky's future is going to work out.
Jim, really interested in hearing your perspective on this, because you've been on both sides of this thing. You've been at one point the backup that people wanted to see ascend past the starter. You've been the starting quarterback. So you've been on both sides of this scenario. What do you make of what we heard from John Fox today, and based on the performances of both quarterbacks over the course of these first two preseason games, how do you react if you're the Bears?
Yeah, I still think there's a long way to go for Mitchell Trubisky. I had a great conversation with Dow Loggins down on the field, offensive coordinator of the Bears, before the game. They're happy with what Mitch has done, but it's still, he hasn't had exposure to everything, meaning every blitz he's going to see, the protections, the game planning that Tom mentioned. So I don't think anything's has changed at all. I think he's ahead of the curve. I think they're happy with where the process is at right now, but there's no reason to pull the plug on Mike Glennon, because even last game I said, hey, is anything game plan? No, they were just calling plays. I mean, they've got a script full of plays for both Mike Glennon and what Mitchell Trubisky is doing, but the game planning week to week is going to be far different than what it is right now. So to me, Glennon is the starting quarterback, and he will be the starting quarterback week one.
What do you need to see from Mike Glennon in this quote-unquote dress rehearsal? And really, the better way to phrase it, Tom, is this is the last real opportunity for the starting unit to play a game prior to the regular season.
To me, out of the quarterback position, I want to just see timing and accuracy. When I went back and I looked at the tape and I was watching the interception, when you look at the interception, the decision was right. He threw it behind the receiver and then gave the defensive back an opportunity to close the distance and make the interception. Now, if Glennon goes out there and throws the ball in front of the receiver and allows him to run to the football, it's going to be a completion, a good decision, and a good throw. Now, when you're talking about game planning for an opponent, those things are repetitiously done in warm-ups, in pat and go, in 7-on-7, and in teamwork. So that same play, Glennon may get a chance to throw during the course of a preparation week 15 to 20 times. And so rather than having calling a game just by the seat of your pants in the preparation of a preseason game in week one and week two, now Glennon will see that play so many times that he's going to have a better understanding where that football has to be. So that's why Judgment Day is coming on Sunday, because he's going to understand the routes that they're going to call in certain portions of the field. The receivers are going to understand the routes that are going to be called, and then they're going to be able to see each other's the way they react to the play call more often than just hearing it in an instant and going out there and running it.
Jim, when you were up in the TV booth calling the game on Saturday night, you saw a Bears team that was playing around with the offensive line a little bit. The injury to Kyle Long forced the Bears to tweak some things on the line. Jordan Howard was the late scratch, didn't make the trip with the eye injury, back at practice today. But the fact that some key weapons weren't on the field, can you get a true gauge from that first team because of it?
Yeah, I do. I thought 2 weeks in a row the Bears have run the football extremely well. You know, certainly Tariq Cohen, him getting an opportunity there, he got the start in the game, and he was exciting from the get-go. But that's who the Bears want to be. Their identity, and we've said it all offseason, is run and play action. You know, the running game early, I thought, set up some play action passes later for Mike Glennon. You know, that deep in cut that was probably perfectly timed. From the first group receivers, I still thought they struggled to get off press man coverage. I think that has to get better, whether it's Kevin White. I think all of them need to get better from that standpoint. And maybe once Wheaton gets healthy, he's really the speed guy that maybe could have opened up some things for the receivers. But running the football, I thought, was extremely well. I thought Mike Glennon responded extremely well. Tom was right. He was late on the throw. I thought he was somewhat baited by Tyrann Mathieu on the interception. But I think overall, I think it was a good, you know, second outing for the first team offense.
It was interesting because in talking to Glennon right after the game, and this is before he had a chance to watch the video, he mentioned that that's simply a ball he should not have thrown.
Yeah, I agree, because technically Mathieu was a safety rotated down to that side. And when all things are equal, it wasn't a mirrored route principle, but you're normally going to throw away from the rotated down safety because it technically was his own coverage. So, you know, can you get it in there? Yeah, you probably could, but it's a hairy throw, so why chance it? Plus, you're going down to score, and you got to weigh the risks and rewards. Bottom line is the Bears should have had a field goal, and that's who they need to be. You know, so there's no sense forcing it. You're in the pay dirt area. Either take three or make a smarter decision, potentially give your team an opportunity to score a touchdown.
We saw a lot of Tariq Cohen in that game against the Arizona Ones, and he looked like he belonged. And we heard so much talk coming into training camp, guys, about how Tariq Cohen was merely a joker back, a guy that you would use kind of in these unique ways to create mismatches. I think, Tom, the thing that has impressed me is his ability to be a conventional running back as well, despite the fact that he's just 5'6".
I agree with you, Zach, but I also admire his vision, because if you look at a couple plays that he ran the other night that he really had success on, is he gets the flow of the defense going in such a direction because they're trying to overwhelm the point of attack. As soon as he sees a second level over pursuer, and then he knows that he's got the offensive lineman that is engaged in his block at the first level, he cuts it back with such immediacy that they can't readjust. They can't stop and get into a tackling position. So those are the types of concerns that are going to be in the minds of every defensive player that plays against them. Again, you know, just you have to refer back to people throughout your eras and time in the NFL. And when you think about how the defensive coaches talked to the players in preparation to play a guy like Barry Sanders, it was getting to the point fast, but don't over-pursue and be out of position. And I see that's the struggle that defenses are going to have against Tariq Cohen, is trying to get to that point of attack. But once you over-pursue by a step and have your feet crossed, he sees it and cuts it back. That's the danger zone for those guys at the second and third levels.
Jim, you would have loved this. There was one play where Tariq Cohen kind of bounced outside, had a huge gain on the ground, and then was rudely thrown out of bounds by the Cardinals. And their huge defensive tackle, Frosty Rucker, right? This is a guy you don't want to mess with, stands right over Cohen and stares him down. And Tariq pops back up, smiles, and goes right back into the huddle as if to show, hey, you can't hurt me. And I think that says a lot about his mentality heading into the NFL.
I do. I think he's fearless. I think he definitely wanted to show his toughness. There is no doubt about that. And that's what he's doing. He's sending a message, say, hey, I'll be here. I'll see you in 45 seconds once the clock starts winding down in terms of the time clock. And I think that's important to him, you know, because he is diminutive in stature, and everybody's always going to worry about, can he take the pounding? And he seems to be up for the challenge. And just like Tom said, there were a couple plays that there was a weak side blitz, and he beat the weak side defender, the blitzer, to the hole, meaning that guy's supposed to be the last line of defense to wall it off to stop the cutback, but he sees the hole and then accelerates. And I think Tom will mention this. Even on those outside zone runs, he's patient, and sometimes when those defensive linemen are working down the line of scrimmage as the offensive lineman, that hole is sometimes there and then it's not because it gets washed out so quickly. But he hit it every single time because he got the ability to accelerate. Very impressive to watch.
Sorry. Zach, when you were interviewing Tariq Cohen on the sideline, the thing that encouraged me most about one of his responses is the fact that Dal Loggins had faith in him to stand up when they said an outside blitz was coming from the right side. Stood up, had his protection responsibility, and the quarterback was able to get the ball downfield. That's what encourages me most about him, because you had all these question marks about will he have the ability to pick up blitzes and his responsibility. He's not only going to be a nightmare in these defensive matchups, but if you do have to put him in there and you know what type of route you're going to run and he's going to have a blocking assignment, he's up to that task as well. And he talked about how glad he was that they showed faith in him.
Yeah, he's trying to show that he can do a little bit of everything out there on the football field and earn the trust of the coaching staff. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, the defense so far has been trending in the right direction. We'll find out what Tom Thayer and Jim Miller think about the performances over the first two games by the Bears defense. Plus, what do they do with Mitchell Trubisky going forward to make sure that he develops the way the Bears would like him to develop going forward? Let's take a timeout. More with Jim Miller, Tom Thayer, Zach Zabin with you, and you can join us at 312-644-6767 on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zabin alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, 312-644-6767 is our phone number. The voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, will join us a little bit later on in the show. We talked a lot about the offense in the first segment, but guys, the Bears defense has been very consistent over the first two preseason games. And Tom, what impressed me last week is the fact that you began to see some of the depth that the Bears have in the front seven. And remember, before the start of training camp, Ryan Pace said that front seven is the strength of the football team. So far, that's beginning to show.
Yeah, you know, two guys in particular played well. Jay Howard Jr. played well for himself, and Jonathan Bullard followed up a good first game, a really good week of practice, and had some really nice play before he got a little bit of a nick and ended up leaving the game. So I think the encouraging thing about the defense is make sure you have developed depth that can come in here and run the defense as efficiently as if you have the first team guys in there. You know, and it's still going to be about the rehabilitation of Danny Trevathan and then and how Pernell McPhee, you know, starts or gets an opportunity to play in the regular season. Leonard Floyd is playing really good. Willie Young is still active. Sam Acho is an active outside linebacker. So all the pieces are in place in the front seven to not only have a good first group and then have some depth behind them, but I still think the defensive backfield is going to be the telltale sign of success for this defense. And I was encouraged by the way Kyle Fuller played. I think he played well when he had a support from a defensive back position against the run, and he had some good coverage opportunities downfield. So that was encouraging to see. And then you're going to start seeing snippets of these other guys, whether it's Eddie Jackson, Deion Bush, Houston Carson was able to come in and play a little bit in the slot. So all these guys that are getting their opportunities because of nicks and injuries to other guys, they're showing well for themselves, and hopefully they'll make some difficult decisions for the defensive coaches.
Jim, we always hear that, you know, take the preseason with a grain of salt, that it's not a real indicator of what's to come when the regular season rolls around, and you especially hear it when things don't go well on either side of the ball. But based on the fact that the defense has looked good over the first two games, how much of it is realistic, do you think, that will transfer over into the regular season?
I think it will transfer over because I think there's a lot of guys that are now familiar with what Vic Fangio wants to do, how he's going to call plays in certain situations. And I think it's still early to get the telltale sign because they haven't lined up in terms of the secondary, their top guys. You know, I'll give Cooper a pass in this game because he's really just coming back from that hamstring. I'd like to see him and Amukamara out there together and Callahan in the slot. We have yet to see that. You know, even this game, it was more Cravon LeBlanc, who would be the second nickel. I thought he struggled when he had to go to the outside, but that's really not where he's going to play. So I think injury, you know, and just guys that were out, I think somewhat affected that. I thought he got picked on a little bit in terms of the short, squatty receivers of the Cardinals, where they were getting those little out routes to his side because he was given too much cushion. But normally he's not going to be out there. So it's still early to tell, but the signs are encouraging. I'm with Tom. I thought Kyle Fuller played extremely well. Very aggressive, and you know, we'll see what happens in terms of his roster spot, because it's going to be interesting.
Great point that you guys both make, because John Fox today singled out Kyle Fuller for his performance in that game against the Cardinals. Another thing that I want to hit on, and both of you mentioned it, and we heard Jarrell Freeman when he was with us in Bourbonnais on Bears All Access talk about how it took him nearly the entire season last year to fully grasp what Vic Fangio wants as a defensive coordinator. And today, Quinton Dempsey, talking to the media, mentioned that, you know, it takes a little bit of time to understand exactly what Fangio wants. Can you kind of provide us some details, Tom, as to what Fangio is looking for from his players and why it's an adjustment, even from veteran players?
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Quinton Dempsey say that, because here's a guy with double-digit years of experience in the NFL, and you'd think at this time you would know all the schemes that the NFL has to offer. But I think he has to understand that the back four, the back five are going to support the front of the defense. And Vic likes versatility. He doesn't want to just line up with the same guys in the same spot over a certain period of time. They do a great job of evaluating the weak points up on the offensive line and the weakest of blockers. In, like, for example, the other night, they had Willie Young and Leonard Floyd rushing from one side, while they had Jonathan Bullard and Eddie Goldman rushing, you know, as part of the defensive line package on one side against the offensive line. And that's what Vic Fangio wants to do, is he wants to have a versatile group up front where they can rush from anywhere. But now the defensive backs have to understand where the pressure of the rush is going to come from, and then be, you know, and then have their landmarks according to the receivers that they're seeing. So it's never just one guy having one assignment against the player that he's going to face. It's one guy understanding the assignments of the other 10 guys on the defense, and then you look at the offensive personnel, you look at what hash they're on, you hear the cadence, how it's repetitiously being used, and then all those types of facts and figures fall into play. So, you know, Quinton Dempsey said a lot today in his press conference about he's finally feeling comfortable with the uses that Vic Fangio is going to put these guys through.
Yeah, and Jim, I don't know if you ever faced a Vic Fangio defense when you were a quarterback, but do you recall studying for some of his defenses? Well, and can you give us the viewpoint from a quarterback when you have to take on the looks that Tom just mentioned?
Well, I'll give you a case in point. Yeah, like what Tom mentioned. Say a team like Arizona. You know, Bruce Arians is known for using that bunch set, or what we call, it's either bunch right, some people call it box right, where you've got the three receivers really stacked just outside the tackle. So let's say it's just a bunch right. You can still run plays out of it. You can run pass plays, but now it depends on the personnel grouping. Normally a defense, say, that is lining up against that bunch set, you know, depending on the tendencies that they do, one, if it's the bunch with three wides, your personnel grouping is different than, say, bunch with two tight ends and one wide receiver. So you've got to be ready more for the run play when the tight ends are out there. So you may stay man coverage in that, in terms of the defensive secondary call. But a lot of teams, what happens is, say, if it's that bunch with the three wide receivers that we know are speed demons, you know, you got Smokey Brown and all the quick guys, J.J. Nelson down there for the Arizona Cardinals, most teams would probably, the secondary would go check, check. You'd hear it as a quarterback where they'd say, box it, box it. What does box it mean? Box it means that they're going to go to more of a zone call. It'll be like a cool half coverage is what it'll be, because you're worried about that speed of the three receivers. But it's going to depend on down and distance, when you're going to do it, like you said, the hashes, all those things that Tom mentioned. And every play caller, whether offensively or defensively, are going to have those built-in adjustments into the play call. And I would like to think with the veteran guys that they have now, everybody should be on the same page of what Vic Fangio is looking for coverage-wise so they can say, hey, box it, boom. Everybody knows we're going to the zone. It's the three-bunch set. There's three quick wide receivers. Everybody knows we're going quarter, half. And it's got to happen that quick at the line of scrimmage.
How can you not be fired up listening to these two guys talking football the way they are right now? Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk even more football with the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak. He'll join us on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Joining us now on the phone line is the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak. And, man, you got to call some big-time highlights Saturday night in Arizona.
Well, the best one, of course, was Deontay Thompson. Had a chance to visit with him today, and he got a kick out of it. You know, we had a big discussion, actually, because could you actually go to 109.5? Because he feels it was 109.5. And then after watching the tape, he almost stepped out of the back end. He agrees with that. But he'd like to say 109.5 so he has the record. But you can't go to 110. The scribes tell me you can't go to 110. The official rules say no 110, so he's 109 on the field goal miss return touchdown. And another reporter had asked him if anybody on the team even knew you could do that. And, you know, I guarantee you there were some that didn't know you could do that. I think there's some fans that didn't know you can do that. But if you've been around here and you heard the name Devin Hester and Nathan Vasher, you know you can do that.
Well, let's stay in the kicking battle. Is there a kicking battle?
Well, when you miss your first opportunity and it didn't look good, obviously that's not a great start for Roberto Aguayo. But I'm still going to say yes because the young man clearly has a ton of talent by evidence of what he did in college at Florida State and the investment made in him by Tampa Bay with the second pick in round two. So this man certainly has the ability to do it, to get himself right. He hasn't had any time with the snapper and the holder. You could speak better to that, Jim. You can speak better to that than me. But it seems that that all has to be in sequence, and it has to be rhythmic, and it has to be repped. So let's give him more time.
Yeah, I think no harm, no foul signing. We'll see where it goes with Aguayo. Since you brought up Deontay Thompson and he flashed with that great return, Jeff, how do you think it's shaken out with the receivers? Because we really, you know, with Wheaton going down again with the broken pinky and where Cruz is at and the special teams option for Deontay Thompson and what he does in the return game, I mean, how do you see that shaken out? Because I thought the receivers struggled again to get off man coverage against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, And I think John Fox nailed it today, too. You know, still progress needs to be made. So to that end, and I discussed this with Deontay, too, I thought he, given the changes in quarterbacks a year ago at the season, I think you guys will all agree, his targets went up and so did his catches, and he had a
right.
big game against the Packers. He's a veteran. He's got confidence. He plays with a lot of emotion. And he's got great speed, and I don't think you can ever have enough great speed. And this team is faster, but I made this point, and Tom, you and I discussed it, too. That game on Saturday featured 16 players at 4-4 or lower in the 40 for the Arizona Cardinals, and I was wondering how the Bears were going to match up team speed-wise, 9 on defense, 7 on offense, some of them 4-2s and 4-3s, and how you attack that, how you play, make play calls offensively and defensively, and if you can stay with some of those receivers were all things we were going to watch, and I thought they held up pretty good. But on the Bears, you know, they don't have that. They don't have that kind of team speed. So as much team speed as you can get, I'm all for. And until proven otherwise, you know, he's a very steady kick returner. Right now, you know, that's all you want back there is steady. You're not going to have great because of how the game has changed. It just takes away. It mutes a lot of the successful kick return guys. And, you know, Benny Cunningham's solid too. You know, he's 3-4-5 in the league last 3 years in kick return average. So you've got options. But he's got versatility, Deontay, because he's also playing on coverage units now, too.
Visiting with the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You're active on social media, at Jeff Joniak on Twitter, so you get an opportunity to talk to the fans.
Hold on. That's blowing it out of proportion. Active? I think I've dipped my toe in the water a little.
Jeff, I saw you tweet out about the eclipse at practice today. You were all over it, Jeff.
John
Fox. Jeff Joniak.
John Fox took his glasses today. He was looking up at the sun. It was unbelievable.
I'm working my way up that ladder, and only if Tom will join me. I think I could, you know, do some at T. Thayer somehow, some way, but that doesn't exist right now. But go ahead.
The reason I brought that up is because you hear what gets said about the quarterback position outside of the building, And I think people have to have a better understanding of the way the Bears are approaching things at the quarterback position. And nobody knows that better than you. What's the best way to describe this so people understand and don't get confused?
I mean, just listen to the coaches and watch the games and listen to how it's all analyzed by and crafted word-wise. I mean, right now, you know, until further notice, Mike Lennon is your starting quarterback. And I think you should also focus on the idea that Ryan Pace, the general manager, has said there's competition. He feels comfortable. It's competition at every position. That would include the quarterback position. So I think it's pretty clear and simple. There's been no great secret here that Mike Lennon, it's his starting job, and it's his starting job to lose if he doesn't play well enough, obviously. And Mitchell Trubisky and Mark Sanchez are going to get their reps. Sanchez, they know very well after being in the league now for 8-plus years, and Trubisky has to get rep to find out exactly where he's at so they feel comfortable where he's at on that depth chart. That's the best way I can look at it.
Everybody's got expectations, and I have higher expectations for Glennon this weekend against the Tennessee Titans. Earlier in the show, I was talking about how when you start game planning for an opponent, you try to attack their perceived weaknesses, and then you do things repetitiously during the week of practice. I think this is the opportunity to have a more critical evaluation of Mike Glennon, like, and not necessarily it's going to be more than the first two games of the season. Do you go along with that?
Absolutely. I mean, come on. That's exactly what preseason is all about. So, you know, let's find out what happens. You know, overall, the completion percentage went up for all the quarterbacks. They were over 70% as a trio. And again, that's without any kind of programming in terms of the details that you're going to get in a real game week. So he'll work, I'm certain, until the third quarter. And I mean, I'm expecting that. And let's see where this offense goes. Quarterback has to raise all boats. He needs some help, though, too, along the way in terms of the types of calls that are made for him and the receivers, as Jim pointed out, getting better.
And last one for me, Jeff, just in terms of the eyeball test, because what I've seen 2 weeks in a row, I think the Bears have dominated the line of scrimmage, you know, run the football extremely well. I think coverage units have been good, as you mentioned, in the kick game, you know, a little bit. Just, you know, I've kind of classified this team as they are better than advertised. They need to pick a fight every week, and that's really where they're going to make hay if they win up front in the trenches. But just from the eyeball test and how the defense has been contesting every single throw, what have you seen? I see a better, more improved football team than what people think of the Chicago Bears.
I definitely see a more aggressive team defensively, and you know, you can go back to the line of scrimmage, and the run defense has been good. They average what, 2.1 yards a carry on Saturday night, and that's not with their big guys in there, all their big guys in there, including Akeem. So, but like you said, making plays on the ball, we've seen it in practice. We see more physicality from the safety position, which I think is an absolute must. So Quentin Demps, you know, Adrian Amos has been there too, but, you know, the rookie has been really good out of Alabama. So he is a physical guy back there too. They're making strides. Kyle Fuller, at the end of the Bourbonnais portion of training camp, making a lot more plays on the ball. He looks more fluid and looks more confident, looks happier. In fact, he had a big smile on his face talking to him off the field today. I think he's starting to feel good about everything once again. So, you know, I don't know where that leads. But I do think overall that defense is playing much more aggressive. Their mentality offensively, you know, I think to help out the quarterbacks. I mean, you got guys with only the last 2 years haven't started many games, from Glennon to Trubisky to Sanchez. So, in the last 2 years, you do the math, it's not a whole lot. So you got to help those guys out, and that brings up the downhill running game of Jordan Howard and the ability now what we're seeing to Tariq Cohen. I mean, good contact, balance, explosion. You know, this scheme is not too big for this guy, given his size. I threw that in there, but it is definitely not too big for him. So I'd like to see Jeremy Langford, as I know Tom and I talked about it a couple of times in the broadcast. I'd like to see him get into the mix as well and be healthy and be productive, because he flashed as a rookie and showed some really good ability to break it open in the passing game and in the running game. So there is a lot of good things going on. It's just going to take some time, I believe, to blend it all together and get going with a little momentum in the first part of this season. They got some tough competition.
Great stuff. Hey, Jeff, did we miss anything? Is there something that you want to talk about?
I don't know. I haven't listened to the show. I don't know. I mean, you're running the show. You tell me.
And what we asked you, he's talking
about.
Yeah,
come on, Jeff.
I mean, isn't there a topic out there that...
No.
Other than the eclipse, Jeff, you got nothing on the Bears? Come on, Jeff.
Everybody wants to talk about the quarterbacks. That's really all anybody wants to talk about. Anywhere you go, anybody stops you, they want to talk about the quarterbacks.
You know,
so much conversation about that. I think if you settle on the quarterbacks, I think you have a pretty good show because that's what everybody wants to break. I get it. That is absolutely necessary. They got to figure that's a new direction that they're going, and they got to make sure that they got that all squared away at the quarterback position in order to have a successful season and at least start building momentum in that regard.
You know,
that's the big topic.
One thing about the quarterback position, I think, and we even brought it up earlier, it's just the timing of the quarterback, making sure they're throwing footballs efficiently so the receivers have an opportunity. In the first quarter of the game the other night, in your description of the play, Carson Palmer threw a pass, and he threw it maybe 2.5 seconds before the receiver concluded his route. Do you remember that play?
Yeah, Jeremy Ross, number 15.
Right, against Marcus Cooper. But I think those are the types of things when you watch a guy with the experience of Carson Palmer, that's the type of timing that we want to see out of the Bears quarterbacks.
Right, and I believe, and Jim, you can speak to it better than me, but it takes time. That takes time and reps.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, I mean, you know, even in the game, I mean, I know it didn't get credited as an interception in the books, but there was pressure coming down on Mitchell Trubisky, and he forced a ball to the outside that got tipped and was picked off. Ultimately, it was negated by penalty, but there's still a long way to go. I thought Glennon, you know, that touchdown pass on all-out blitz, you know, again, they didn't script that. They didn't know they were going to see all-out blitz in that game. He made the right decision and got the ball in the right player's hands. So there is plenty more to uncover, and Trubisky has a lot to learn. So it's still early, but it's a good start and good debut for a young rookie quarterback.
Right, overall, just the whole thing. Like on Sunday afternoon at noon, you just want to continue to see progress.
Right.
Just general progress. And clean up all your mistakes as best you can and go back to work because there's still several weeks before the start of the regular season. A lot of things change, even the last week of the season, as we found out the last couple of years. You don't know who you're going to have starting where and why, and you really no idea until you really get going and start against the Falcons on the 10th. So, but you'd just like to see progress. I think that's really what the preseason now has become, just progress and hope to gosh you stay healthy.
Jeff, thank you. And by the way, I do feel like we were cheated in Chicago in regards to the eclipse because of the cloud cover.
Well, you know, that's just Mother Nature. You can't win that battle, Big Zach. But, you know, some of these TV guys had it in their viewfinder, and I think that was about the best you could see out of it. I don't know. You probably posted it on Twitter. But, you know, it was interesting. It was interesting. That's all I could say. There was a lot of do about a little bit. Over here, that's for sure.
Jeff, thank you. We'll see you Sunday in Nashville when the Bears take on the Titans in the third preseason game. Jeff Jodiak, the voice of the Bears, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access. Let's take a break. When we come back, so you guys have heard the conversation, and the big topic of conversation here at Halas Hall, and John Fox was peppered with questions about this. Should Mitchell Trubisky get reps with the ones? The question I have for you is, when do you earn the right to get reps with the first team in practice as a quarterback? We'll discuss next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The quarterback conversation has been dominating everything, obviously, and I think that the Bears have made it clear that Mike Glennon is their starter. We don't know if Mitchell Trubisky is going to get some reps with the first team this week. John Fox said the team hasn't decided yet, going to talk about it tomorrow on the off day, then return to practice on Wednesday. But I guess, Jim, I'll start with you. What do you have to do as a young quarterback to earn reps with the first team when you have two established veterans on the team ahead of you?
Well, like anything else, you got to know your assignments inside and out. So when the coaches have the trust and confidence to insert you, that you can execute to the level they want the play executed. That's why I always bring up about, say, different blitzes. And it's got to be out of, you know, any personnel grouping, whether you're in three wides or whether it's two tight ends. You know, he's got to be able to audible and get in and out of plays where he's not going to be put in harm's way. I mean, because God forbid, if you put him out there, you call a play that he's uncertain about, maybe he makes the wrong protection check, or maybe doesn't point out the correct Mike backer, or if he has to, you know, basically redeclare the Mike backer, it can get you hurt, and it can put you in a bad spot offensively where you're not going to get a positive play. So I think that's where it starts first, is he has to have knowledge in the offense where the Bears feel, hey, he's not going to be put in harm's way of him getting hurt. Other way to protect him is through the play calling. I mean, certainly the play caller can take it over where they basically limit what you can do offensively because you know this player is going to be comfortable in certain plays. And I think that's where it's at right now. I don't think Trubisky has command of the whole enchilada. And that's really what the Bears are trying to press the issue with him, is how much can he handle? Because the minute he starts to stray, meaning he's not calling things correctly, you might have to back off a little bit. And I thought Dow Loggins even, you know, has brought that up about just where his command is. You know, he sent Mitchell Trubisky a tape of Drew Brees down there for the New Orleans Saints. You know, just him at the line of scrimmage. Hey, this guy's blitzing. Hey, don't be afraid to run this route. You know, he's signaling the routes. He's calling the mic. And then all of a sudden he's changing the play. He's, you know, double cadencing to make sure the defense can't just, you know, have a good get off to get to him. I mean, the guy is in command. And that's where they want Mitchell Trubisky to be. And it's not going to happen overnight. Again, two games don't make a career, and it certainly doesn't make a season. But he's getting better every single day, and that's what you want to see, as Jeff said, progress. And I think they see progress from Mitchell Trubisky.
There's no doubt about it, Tom, that from the time that Trubisky first stepped on the Halasol practice field to now, that you have seen progress. And I think when it comes to Mike Glennon, you know, when you look at the first team, and obviously the unit's been banged up a little bit, so he's not going out there with the starting unit that the Bears expect to have when the regular season starts. I think what people want to see is that same type of progress from Mike Glennon. What have you seen from the Bears starting quarterback right now in terms of where he's gotten better, and what's the next step for him so that the team feels comfortable heading into the regular season?
You know, I think Jim's hit on it. It's the knowledge of what you're saying that you know when you go to the line of scrimmage. And, you know, when you talk about these quarterbacks that have experience in the same system, and then they can point out the blocking responsibilities of the offensive line, they can kind of pick an alternate route and verbally tell to the wide receiver so they know what they're talking about. The ability to go through double cadences and still know what you said in the huddle. And, you know, Mike Glennon and Trubisky have kind of started on this path together in learning the terminology and knowing what it's understand. And so it is an overwhelming responsibility to make sure that you're able to digest the information, know what you're saying to the 10 guys, and know what it means against 200 different defensive backfields or front sevens that you could face during the course of a game, during the course of a week's preparation. And you see the growth in both of them. But, you know, Mike Glennon has more experience in the NFL landscape than Mitchell Trubisky does. So a lot of the things that Mitchell Trubisky's had to learn, from taking a center quarterback exchange to using the terminology in the huddle and making sure everybody gets the understands it as well as himself. And then after you say everything and you break the huddle, you got to remember the snap count. I know it's a minor thing, but there's a lot of players that go to the line of scrimmage, and by the time they're hearing this information for the first or 10th time, they're still filtering all that information, trying to remember the snap count. And then if you're still processing the information and you're thinking about the snap count, and that slows one or two players down a tenth of a second, it can screw up the whole play. So there's a lot of things that have to be digested efficiently in order to get the best out of the quarterback and get the best out of the other 10 guys they're playing with.
Now, and I want to follow up with that because, you know, it's just, we've seen him throw great on the run. Right, like, let you know, in the first game it was a little 209, which is a rollout to the left where he threw a touchdown. What happens when teams start blitzing that? Can he audible out of that? I mean, because that's a strength of his, is to get on the move. Teams will shut that down. Mark my words. Or even the bootleg nakeds. I've yet to see, say, if it's a solo right call, which is a two tight end set, because he's good throwing the bootleg naked to his right. Say it's solo right, 339 naked right. Okay, what if they bring that safety down just outside the tight end and they blitz it to that side he's rolling to? Can he audible out of that? Can he go easy, alert opposite? Now you're going to call 338 naked left away from the blitz because now you know the back's going to pick up the blitz? You know, there's a lot to find out because teams will shut down his ability to roll out and make plays with his feet. They will actually dictate where he will have to scramble, where they find a weakness. Hey, maybe he doesn't throw as accurate when he throws to his left. Let's blitz him to the right and force him to scramble out the back pocket, out the back side of the pocket, to force him to throw to his left. There's a lot of things teams will do. And, again, you have to, as a coach, you got to be wary that he can handle it. And otherwise, he could get himself hurt if he's not protected.
Right. You don't want to have a situation where you force a guy out there before he's ready. Like last year, you can make an argument the Rams did that with the top overall pick at the time, Jared Goff, because it plays with your head, too. You lose confidence. I think it's a very important position where you don't want to have that happen. The other thing is you were talking about working on some of your weaknesses, making them strength with Trubisky. With Glennon, a lot has been made about his footwork and his feet. And you heard Dave Ragone, the quarterback's coach, say that, you know, for a big guy, he has good feet. Now that you've seen him, Jim, in a couple of games where sometimes he's had to move the launch point, is that an area that he needs to get better with?
I think you can always get better at your footwork. But I think for a big quarterback, he moves pretty well. You know, he really does for a big guy. So, and sometimes your footwork's not always going to be perfect in the pocket. And Tom can explain this. You know, if they do some A-gap blitz where you don't have the ability to step into a throw, and I bring it up all the time, you got to have short step, no step throws where you're kind of just almost like a baseball batter in a box where you just pick up your left foot and put it back down, but you still have to generate the power with your arm. And those are all things that Dow Loggins and Ragone work with in the quarterback drills. But quarterbacks always need to work on their footwork, because if you're not in balance to throw a football, you're not going to be an accurate passer. So you have to be able to do it in all situations. But I think Glennon is more than capable, and he's been exposed to a lot of football. He's certainly more experienced in his exposure to offenses in the NFL than Mitchell Trubisky, and it's his time. Like I said, it's 5 years. He's ready to roll, and we'll see what he's capable of doing.
You know, one of the things, and no position that you play do you want your feet off the ground for a long period of time. You want those quick, choppy steps, whether you're an offensive lineman, defensive lineman, linebacker, quarterback, whatever. But, Jim, I have a question I'm kind of confused about, and it's Victor Cruz. I see Victor Cruz getting reps in late in the game, late third in the fourth quarter. Where is he, and what is he going to what's going to be his role on this team? I'm kind of confused a little bit that he hasn't been exposed a little bit more. Are they just trying to keep him safe going into the regular season, or is he battling for that slot position?
Hold that thought, Jim. We got to take a break when we'll come back. It's a great question. What does Jim Miller have to say in regards to Tom Thayer's question about Victor Cruz?
The tease by Zach Zabin.
We'll discuss next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Before the break, Tom was wondering, where does Victor Cruz fit in this scheme where you talk about these receivers, where guys like Cameron Meredith and Kevin White and Kendall Wright appear to be ahead of him? Jim, you've watched him play. Where does Victor Cruz fit into this offense?
Yeah, I think he's fighting for that sixth spot on the wide receiver job. Because when you look at, obviously, Kendall Wright can play, and I think they like him in the slot. I think Marcus Wheaton, when he returns, he also can play in the slot as well. And I think the other guys are just big guys that factor into the run game. Because, you know, regardless of Kevin White, he hasn't played football in 2 years. That is a big body on the outside that can block. Same with Cam Meredith, same with Deontay Thompson. And I think so it's the fight right now for the sixth wide receiver spot. And I would think it would be Cruz, Bellamy, and Thompson are all battling out to be the sixth guy is where I see it.
What do you need to see from Kevin White?
Improvement, you know, for him, just like the other night. He needs to, you know, like when there's a no-look pass, he needs to make a guy miss that's rallying up to tackle him. I'm not saying it's easy now, but he's a big physical receiver that I think needs to play to his stature. I mean, he was a 4-3 receiver coming out of college. He's basically missed 2 years of football. So I think for him, he's just got to get accustomed to the game again and realize his body is an asset And if he plays to his stature, he'll have a lot of success. And, you know, he should be able to push around some of those defensive backs, and he should be able to blow them up, quite frankly, with his physicality. So I think he's still learning. I think he's getting his feet wet. I think it's only two games, but I think he needs to start making strides with where he's at.
You know, I would like to see some vertical routes by Kevin White, because, you know, you put you really challenge the quarterback to throw the, you know, passes towards the sideline that have a lengthy flight to him. But I want to see Kevin on some vertical routes, like Jim says, to use his size as an asset and to either climb up over the top of a defensive back, out jump him, or just get better body positioning with him, and then see how that helps out the quarterback. So, you know, if that's the one thing I want to see out of Kevin White, I'm glad he's up. He respects his responsibility to block on the edge for runs, because that's going to help Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, and the rest of the running backs. But, you know, we're here to see a 6'3 receiver, you know, go big up, you know, in a vertical route.
That's just something that we're going to be looking for on Sunday when the Bears play their third preseason game in Tennessee. Special thanks to Jeff Joniak for joining us. Also, want to thank Tom Thayer and Jim Miller and you for listening throughout the hour. This has been Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access.